Luke chapter number 24 in your Bible tonight. You may be seated if you can. Bless God. I hope we shout so loud, bless God, they call the rescue squad. Amen. I love it. I mean, look how nervous I get when they start acting like that. Praise God, I egg it on. This is the quietest world you will ever live in. Fellow said, he said, we visited your church and we would have liked it, but they shouted too much. I said, there's some dead churches in town. Go over there. Praise God. We serve a living Savior. He is worthy of our praise. He said, if you don't praise me, I'll get the rocks to cry out. And this is not good English, but it's good preaching. I don't want no stupid rock shouting in my place. Amen. I don't know what the Lord did for that rock, but I know what he did for me when he put me on the rock. Praise God. We ought to call recess and shout for 30 minutes. And I mean, just get an oxygen tank, another one, and just shout some more, honey. Amen. God is good. I've had a great time this week. And if you've not had a good time, I hope it ain't my fault. And I hope it ain't Brother Stewart's fault. If I hope it ain't your wife's fault. If you didn't have a good time, it's your own fault. Amen. And I've enjoyed the morning meetings as well. And that fella, boy, this morning, them two guys, they really preached. And I'll tell you, that Brother Tommy Steele, he's something, ain't he? He's a nut. We were together in a meeting the other day, and the preacher said, I like having Brother Joe and Brother Steele together. When I got them, I got Fudge Ripple. You'll get that after a while. Just think about it. You blondes will wake up about 4 o'clock in the morning and go, whoa, that was funny right there, I'm going to tell you. Oh, boy, isn't it good to be in this place. Next week, when you get back home and have to fight the battles of regular life, you'll look back and say, boy, I'm glad I got something last week. And I'm glad to God that met with us at camp meeting and meet with us again next week. And I heard a preacher say one time, he said, it can't be like this at regular church. Bless God, it can too. And it ought to be. He's worthy. I got a text, but I'm thinking about running just for the fun of it. I would if I wasn't so fat, praise God. Somebody said, Brother Joe, don't run quite like you used to. Well, I'm not as small as I used to be. My poor old daddy, bless his heart, before he died, he got so feeble. He told me one time, he said, I still feel God. He said, boy, don't you? He said, I still feel God. But by the time I get up to shout, he'd have moved on somebody else, praise the Lord. Woo! Thank you, preacher, for letting me come again. And I've already been invited to come back again and again and again. And I appreciate that. The Lord's good. If you're saved tonight, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you're plumb glad about it, hold out one foot too and holler glory. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Luke chapter number 24 in your Bible tonight. Keep your Bible open. We're going to read one verse. But keep your Bible open from the text tonight. We're going to deliver what God has laid upon our heart. Luke chapter number 24, and we're going to use verse 32 as a text tonight. Luke 24, 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scripture. And I'm interested tonight in that little phrase found in verse number 32. Did not our heart burn within us? And from this passage, I want to preach tonight for a while on heavenly, holy heartburn. I'm glad we've got something tonight that'll catch on fire. It'll stay on fire. And it'll burn in our hearts like the mighty fire of God. You see, the Bible said that our God is a consuming fire. And as fire warms, I'm glad God can warm our hearts. As fire illuminates, I'm glad the fire of God can shed light and wisdom in our heart. As fire burns and purifies, I'm glad the fire of God can burn and purify our life. All of us tonight ought to be like the psalmist when he said, "My heart got hot within me, and while I was musing, the fire burned." I believe all of us tonight ought to be like Brother Jeremiah. When you're about to quit and give up because of depression and discouragement, he said, "His word was in my heart, shut up in my bones like a fire." I'm glad we have the fire of God and it can still burn in our heart. We come to this text tonight and Jesus has been to the cross, he's been to the grave, and word is out that he is alive and the tomb is empty. We pick up our text tonight in verse number 15 and the Bible says two of them, and it's referring to two followers of the Lord Jesus, are returning from Jerusalem back to the village of Emmaus. They don't understand what's going on in their world. They're sad, they're distraught, they're bewildered, and they're confused. But by the time they get, and I'm feeling it again, by the time they get to the end of their journey, they're not bewildered, they're not sad, they're not confused, but the holy fire of God is burning in their heart. Now, ever since men have been preaching the gospel, they have argued and fussed and even break fellowship over who these two people are. Well, I'm glad you came tonight. I'm going to give you the authorized version. You'll get that after a while. I'm going to give you the authorized version. Now, we know from the text one of them is a man by the name of Cleophas. And everybody's tried to wonder and fuss about who this unnamed person is. Well, I do know this. In John chapter 19, in verse number 25, the Bible said there were four women that stood by the cross of Jesus when he died. Number one, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Number two, and her sister. Number three, Mary of Magdalene, whom the Lord cast out seven devils. And number four, Mary, the wife of Cleophas. And we know the Cleophas in John 19 is the same Cleophas in Luke 24. So it's very highly possible that this was Cleophas and his wife by the name of Mary. Now we do know from the text that both of them had been at Jerusalem when Jesus died. We know from the text that these two people live in the village of Emmaus. And I just believe it was Cleophas and his wife by the name of Mary. You say, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, you know, you use the NIV version. We're going to use the authorized version. But really, who it was doesn't make a difference, because the condition of their heart, the condition of their mind, we find ourselves in that same condition. They were sad, they were confused, they were bewildered. They just did not understand the things that had happened in their life. But the cure for them then is the same cure for us tonight. That the resurrected, victorious, eternal, living Christ come to our rescue, and the fire of God can burn in our hearts again. Let me say tonight, I am very aware that we are living in the last day. I am very aware that we're living in days of great sin and bewilderment on the part of God's people. But I've come to tell you tonight that God is greater than this whole world in which we live. I've come to tell you tonight that the Bible's still true. and Jesus still lives, and the Holy Ghost is still in business, and the Bible still the Word of God, and God is still upon the throne. And we don't have to be sad. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be bewildered. But the fire of God in the presence of God and the joy of God can burn in our hearts again. I've come to tell you the devil is a liar, and the modernists, they're liars, and the liberals, they're liars. God can be as real to you as he's ever been. Jesus Christ can be as precious to you than he's ever been. Aren't you glad tonight? Hallelujah. We've got something that'll burn in our hearts like fire. Thank God for the holy fire of God. Amen. There are several things in these verses tonight that I want to give you that happens when the fire begins to burn. Number one, look if you will, in verse number 15. Notice what the Bible said in verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, they're trying to figure out what has gone on in their world. Let me ask you this. Have you ever looked up through clouds of bewilderment and confusion and tried to figure out what's going on in your world? But notice what happens in verse number 15. While they commune together in reason, underline this phrase, Jesus himself. I've got underlined in my Bible, holler hallelujah right there. Hallelujah right there. Jesus himself. Jesus himself. Jesus himself. Not an angel of Jesus. Not a messenger of Jesus. Not a representative of Jesus. Not an evangelist of Jesus. Not another disciple of Jesus. But Jesus himself. You know what they found out? They found out when life puts you in a place where only he will do, he will do. I mean, brother, I like it when mama says it's going to be all right. I like it when friends say it's going to be all right. I like it when my brothers in Christ say it's going to be all right. But church, I've come to tell you, can't nobody say it's going to be all right like he can say it's going to be all right, because he's the only one that can make it all right. Jesus himself. My dad told me before he died, he said, boy, you better get to know God and you better get to know him real good, because there'll come a time in your life when only he will do. But aren't you glad when you find yourself bewildered and depressed and discouraged? Hallelujah, standing somewhere in the shadows. It's Jesus himself. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bride of the morning star, the chief cornerstone of the church, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, Jesus himself. Well, glory. Verse 15, notice Jesus himself drew near them and went with them. Number one, when the fire burns, there is companionship. Let me say it like this. When the fire of God begins to burn, you realize you are not alone on your Emmaus road. Lord, let me say it like this. When the fire begins to burn, all of a sudden, somebody besides you steps in on the scene and reminds you, I'm still here. I've come to tell some child of God tonight, you have not been abandoned. You have not been deserted. You have not been forsaken. Nobody may understand. You may feel like nobody cares, but standing somewhere on your road of disappointment, it's Jesus himself, the Son of the living God. We've not been abandoned. We've not been been forsaken. We've not been deserted. I'm glad when the fire burns, we are made aware that somebody else is walking the road with us, and Jesus is his name. Lord have mercy. I was talking to Brother Squire Parson the other day. He's written some songs, some gospel songs, and you know, like Beulah Land. And he came to me and Master of the Sea, and I said, Squire, I know you didn't write Amazing Grace, bless God, but you should have. And I was talking to him a while back, and he lost his hearing in his right ear, and you know how important hearing is to a musician, a professional. And then he was in the hospital running tests on that. And the doctor came in and said, Squire, I got to tell you, you've got the beginning stages of leukemia. We're going to try to help you if we can. But I just need to tell you the bad news up front. You have leukemia. And he said his sons and daughters began to cry and his wife began to cry. And he said, I told them all just to go get something to eat and leave me alone for a little while. He said, Joe, I laid in that bed, looked up at the tile in the ceiling. And he said, I just began to thank God for all of the good times. He said, I looked up and I said, God, if it's over today, thank you for every song you gave me. Thank you, Lord, for every need you provided. Thank you, God, for everything. Lord, if it's over today, you've been great, you've been good. He said, I got caught up in just thanking God for how good the trip has been. He said, about that time, I felt something put their hand on my shoulder. He said, I looked around and thought, maybe it's my wife, but it wasn't her. He said, I thought it was one of my children, and it wasn't one of them. He said, at about that time, way down yonder where God lives, he said, I heard that still small voice say, Squire, it's me. I'm still here, and I'm still on the throne. He's just written a brand new song when nobody has the answer and you don't know what to do. I'm glad, hallelujah, the resurrected Christ, the Son of the living God, he'll walk by your place, put his hand on your soul and say, I'm still here. I'm still here. I've come to tell some child of God tonight, God's not left you. God's not abandoned you. God's not forsaken you. When the fire burns, there's companionship. We're made aware of the presence of the Lord. Amen. Oh, I took my wife to the dentist office one time. You say, isn't that expensive? Yeah, but that's better than the alternative. Lord, who wants to kiss a toothless woman? Can I get a witness? Sitting there in the dentist office, and she was in the back, and they were doing their hammers and their nailing, and sounded like they had a jackhammer out there a couple of times. And so I was in the waiting room, and I picked up a magazine, and I began to read it. And I'm going to tell you up front, no, it was not Golf Digest. Bless God, I'm a Christian. You shouldn't read things like that. I was reading a Field and Stream, something inspired of God, something that had a message for real men. I was reading Field and Stream, and I was reading where this forester was having an interview with a Navajo Indian, and he was trying to tell this forest man about the beauty of a Montana wilderness. That Indian said to the forest agent, he said, I look up and say, beauty above me. He said, I look down and I say, beauty beneath me. He said, I look in front and I say, beauty before me. He said, I look behind and I say, beauty behind me. He said to the forest agent, I look all around and I have to say, beauty all around me. Boy, about that time, the Holy Ghost come in that dentist office, jumped up my lap and said, hey, what that dude said about beauty, you can say about me. Thank God I look up and there's God above me. I look down and say, there's God beneath me. I look ahead and say, there's God before me. I look back and say, there's God behind me. I look around and say, God all around me. And about that time, the Holy Ghost come back again and said, hey, you can say something about me that that dude couldn't say about beauty. It's not only God above us and God beneath us and God before us and God behind us and God all around us, but hallelujah, it's God in us, Christ in us. We're not abandoned. We're not forsaken. There's companionship when the fire burns. Companionship. When the fire burns. Young fella, will you help me just a minute? I want you to be Cleophas. Come here. Son, will you be Mary just for a little while? Get up here. What's your name, son? It's Mary right now. And if you'll be Mary and do good in this message, Preacher Stewart will give you a $50 bill. Do you feel that of God to be Mary? Yes. Money does it every time. We're going to make this Jerusalem. This is where Jesus has died, and this is where the Roman soldiers are looking for the rest of them. And these two followers of Jesus, they're walking down the Emmaus Road, 7.5 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And so they're walking the longest 7.5 miles they've ever walked in their life. They don't understand, so they are reasoning. They're, just do what I tell you. Get your hands out of your pocket. They're reasoning. They're trying to figure out what's going on. And so they're walking down the road trying to figure out what's going on. But what they don't know, behind them, here comes another person. And he's drawing closer. And he's drawing closer. And he's drawing closer. And all of a sudden, he's not behind them. He is with them. And they finish the last leg of the journey hand in hand with somebody who can take all the wrongs and make them right. Oh, you may feel like, preacher, I'm here tonight and nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody's aware of me. Stand still. You're about to bump into him. His name is Jesus, the resurrection and the life. The comfort, the shepherd, the door, the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad when the fire burns, there's companionship. And somebody besides us has come on the scene. Woo! Companionship. Number two, when the fire burns, let me borrow your Bible, son. Is this a King James? It better be. Number two, when the fire burns, there's not only companionship, but number two, when the fire burns, there's clarity. Watch this. The Bible says that their eyes are holding. They're sad. They're confused. They don't understand. But the resurrected Christ is about to clear matters up. Don't you like it when the resurrected Christ clears matters up? And what did he do to clear the matters up? Look down, if you will, in verse number 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. When the fire burns, he'll take the word of God. And can I run a rabbit? A friend of mine said, would you like to go on a trip with some preachers to London, England? I said, why? He said, there's a museum over there that contains the Word of God. I said, I can save you $3,000 and 5,000 miles. There's a heart right here that has the Word of God in it. I'm telling you, bless God, if you got a Bible in your hand, you ain't got a little stupid museum in London, England to see the Word of God. It's in your hand, the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, the infallible Word of God. And honey, don't you like it? On your road to Emmaus, when Jesus comes by and takes your scriptures and clears matters up. Beginning at Moses. That means he started in the book of Genesis. And all the prophets. That means he wound up in Malachi. That means he preached through the whole Old Testament. You say, how long did it take him? He had 7.5 miles to do it. And you think Brother Stewart preaches too long. And you think I preach too long. Jesus preached for 7.5 miles. You'd have needed 3 tanks, Sister Juanita, to endure that sermon. From Genesis to Malachi, he expounded unto them the scriptures. Now, I don't know how that went. But I got a feeling probably something kind of like this. Here they are walking together, and Jesus, now they don't know it's him, but he comes up and says, hey, I want to talk to you about something. Remember over there in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, where that woman and that serpent was going to get in this battle, and their seeds was going to have this big conflict, and that serpent seed was going to bruise the heel of that woman's seed, but that woman's seed was going to bust the head of that serpent's seed. That seed was me. You remember over there in Genesis when old brother Jacob laid down to go to sleep and he saw this ladder that touched heaven and earth at the same time and the angels of God ascended to descend on the ladder? That was me. And over there in the book of Exodus where Moses stood at the burning bush and God said, I am that I am. Not a was, that a was, but I am that I am. That I am that I am. That was me. And then over there in chapter number 14, when they put that blood on the doorpost and God said, I see the blood of the lamb, I pass over you. Oh, that lamb was me. And remember out there in Numbers when they put that brazen serpent in the wilderness and Moses said, if you look, you live. And they looked and they lived as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That serpent was me. And by the way, when Job got down yonder in the midst of his valley and he jumped up and said in chapter 19 verse 25, I know my Redeemer liveth. That Redeemer was me. And then you know we went over to the Psalms and the little psalmist David said, the Lord is my light and the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my strength and strong tower, my shield and buckler. All of that was me. And oh boys, you remember over there when Isaiah got out his scroll and he looked down through the eons of eternity and said, look, there he comes. A virgin shall come conceive and bring forth a son and gonna call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us. That was me. And he'll be wounded for our transgression. He'll be bruised for our iniquity and the chastisement of our peace will be upon him and by his stripes we're healed. Oh, that was me. He's gonna make his grave with the rich. He shall see the travail of his soul and he shall be satisfied. And when he ushers him that kingdom, he's gonna give them peace like a river and the desert's gonna blossom like a rose and they're gonna move out of misery land into Beulah land. Oh, yes, that's me. Remember over there when Ezekiel got out there in the water and he got to swimming around and he got overwhelmed. I am the water of life. He that drinketh of me, though he were thirsty, he'll never thirst again. Oh, by the way, when Amos got hooked up to a yoke, that was me. And when Zechariah opened up a fountain, that was me. And when Malachi said he's a coming back with healing in his wings, that was me. It's all about me. It's all about Jesus. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bride of the... Wait right there. Praise God, I'm glad when the fire of God burns, it ain't about you, it's not about me, it's not about them, but it's all about Jesus. When the fire burns, Christ is exalted. When the fire burns, Christ is lifted up. And I'll tell you what'll happen to you when you're cold and you're bewildered. Jesus will come by and take the word of God. It'll go off like fire and it'll burn in your soul again. Clarity when the fire burns. Number three, watch the Bible. Notice what happens next. Oh, the Bible said in verse number, are you sure this is a King James? Yeah, verse number 28. Watch what it says. And when they drew nigh to the village where they went, he made as though he would have gone farther. Look at verse number 29. But they constrained him. When the fire burns, there's companionship. When the fire burns, there's clarity. When the fire burns, there is constraining. In other words, being around the fire created a hunger to stay around the fire. Being around the fire got them thirsty for more of the fire. Let me say it like this. Now they're wanting to do what they're supposed to do. Let me say it like this. Now they got a case of the can't help it. They're wanting it. They want more of it. And it looks like Jesus is going to pass by, but they constrain him. Will you be Jesus a minute? Mary, and I'll be Cleophas. It looked like he was going to pass them by, but they constrained him. Oh, they constrained him. That word constrain means to get a hold of and urge and pull. Oh, they said, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Don't leave us now. Oh, don't leave us now. You've been good to us. We love you. We like what you got to say. Will you come in our house? Spend some more time with us. We're wanting more of it. We're too near to turn back. Come on in and sit with us. Notice what the Bible said. Here's why. They said it's toward evening. The day is far spent. It's getting late. We've never needed you like we need you. Please, Jesus. Please, Jesus, come on in. Come on in. And I like what the King James Bible said. And he went in. You'll be surprised at where he'll go if he's invited. How many pastors we got here? Let me tell you how to reduce your church from a 5-ulcer church to a 1-ulcer church. You let them get around the fire of God and fall in love with Jesus, they'll get a case of they can't help it, and they'll beat you to the house of God. You're not going to have to, please come Sunday school. Please come for preaching. Please come back on Sunday night. Please. You let the fire of God burn, and they'll be saying, oh, please, preacher, don't cut off on Sunday night. Don't cut it out on Wednesday night. Oh, my God, preacher, don't quit before 12. Preach. Let me show you the difference between before the fire and after the fire. Before the fire. Oh, God, it's Sunday morning again. Oh, God. I got to go to Sunday school, Lord. Then I got to stay for preaching. Lord, they're going to take up money, sure in the world. We ain't going to be there 5 minutes. They're going to pass that plate. They're going to sing them old songs. And that old fella, that boy, ain't it been good to have Elvis this week? And said, then that preacher, he's going to preach. And bless God, he's going to preach so long. We're going to be so late getting out. We're going to have to eat dinner with the Church of God people. Hello. And I tell you, they're going to make us come back Sunday night. And we got to go, because if we don't go, they're going to talk about us. You got that right, baby. You got that right. Oh, Lord. Oh God, I barely made it through that service. I love you, brother. Enjoy, Dad. I may not make it tonight, but I'll send my spirit. If you can't bring all of you, stay at home. That's before the fire. That's before the fire. Here's after the fire. Glory to God. Sunday morning, yes, you the man. Sunday school, bring it on. Woo! Gonna have preaching. Come on, choir, sing her out. Hey, man, let her rip. Hurry, hurry, pass them plates. Lord, oh God, I can hardly wait to, woo, just put my money in. It's so good. Oh, preach, man of God. You sit down now, you little punk. Just because Tommy Steele said you's bad, you ain't bad. I've ate hot dogs bigger than you, boy, you hear me? Yeah. Here's after the fire. Preach, man of God. Preach, man of God. Preach, man of God. I hope he preaches to 1 o'clock. I like eating with the church of God people. Say amen. Woo! Gonna come back tonight. Gonna come back Wednesday. And oh, I'm gonna get me some tracks. Like Brother Sammy Allen said, he said, hey, friend, I'll tell you about them tracks. They'll track you down. Oh, I'm going to witness to somebody. And I'm going to get, you know what that is? That's the holy fire of God. And I'm telling you something. You may have come in this Jubilee tired and bewildered. But before you leave tonight, the holy fire of God will burn in you again. And that desire will be back. And they constrain him. And they constrain him. And said, abide with us. In South Carolina, that means come on in and set a spell. And the Bible said, and he went in to tarry with them. When the fire burns, there's companionship. When the fire burns, there's clarity. When the fire burns, there's constraining. Now look at verse 28 and verse number 29. Notice what the Bible said. Verse number 29. Can you read that? Verse number 29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening. The day is far spent. And the night is at hand. And he went into tarry with them, verse 30. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. Number four, when the fire burns, there's communion. Aren't you glad Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed? And he invites not his frozen people, but chosen people. Come and dine. There ain't nothing like sitting at the table with Jesus. Watch the Bible. Notice what happens. It came to pass as they sat at meat with them. He, speaking of Jesus, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. Now what's wrong with that picture? What's unusual about that picture? In that Eastern culture, they would have been the host. And Jesus would have been the guest. But it looks like he's the host and they the guest. He's took over. You say, Brother Arthur, what gave him the right to take over? Do what? Are you on drugs? What do you mean? Who? Lord, have mercy. What do you mean? Hey, he's God. He's sovereign. He's the Lord. He don't have to get permission. He can take over any place that he wants to. Wait right here. If I know that preacher sitting down there like I think I do any Sunday morning, any Sunday night, any Wednesday night, when he wants to take over, he's welcome. Oh, Brother Arthur, suppose it was your turn to speak tonight and it got on and got out of the banks. What would you do? Direct traffic. I got over my stupid self a long time ago. One fella said, well, I tell you, Dr. Arthur, I just don't know about those type of services where I hear you fellas talk about and everything about, you know, you didn't get to preach and you didn't get a chance to preach and it got on and everything. I'm not so sure if I believe in those kind of services. I said, well, you go to church, bless God, you ain't got nothing to worry about. It won't ever happen. We was down at the hunt club one day. Three big old buzzards was flying around. And some of my boys had hunted with me and my daddy. They went to the dead church in town. One of them said, preacher, Arthur, wonder what them buzzards is looking for. Daddy said, probably your church and preacher. Hey, let me say this tonight. A man is a fool. I got a fool not to step back and say, Jesus, anytime you want to invade this place, anytime you want to move in this place, let's step back. He'll be the host. We'll be a guest. And when the fire burns, that's what happens, amen. And the Bible said, he took bread, blessed it, broke, and gave to them. Well, glory, I'm going somewhere. Look in verse number 31. The opening phrase of verse 31. Read it out loud with me. And their eyes were opened. Time out. They had just walked with Jesus 7.5 miles. And they wasn't sure. They had just heard him preach from Genesis to Malachi for 7.5 miles. They had heard his voice, and they still wasn't quite sure. But when he handed them that bread, when he gave them that bread, their eyes, whew, were open. You say, what's it big about giving two people a piece of bread? I'll tell you what's big about it. When he handed them that bread, his robe pulled up on his arms. And they looked down and saw the wounds from Calvary. Oh, that did it. They said, oh, that's him. That's him. Oh, that's him. Son, when they saw the marks of Calvary, they said, that's him. Lord, have mercy. Don't you like it? On your Damascus Road, when the Lord comes by and gives you a fresh glimpse of Calvary and the cross and the blood and the love of God, it'll cause the fire to burn again. Woo! He's gone. He vanishes out of their sight. And they said one to another, yeah. If they'd have been from South Carolina, they'd have said, glory to God, you feel that? If they'd have been from North Carolina, they said, all to note it was him. If they'd have been from up north, they'd have said, oh my, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Wasn't that wonderful? Oh, wasn't that just great, man? It was, you guys, it was awesome. Oh, yes. I don't know if it was awesome. You know, up north, I go preach, and they say, wow, Dr. Arthur, that was awesome. And I go preach in Alabama, and they go, hey, man. But it don't matter. when the fire of God begins to burn and Jesus reminds you he's alive. It's just good. It's just great. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Thank God when the fire burns, it'll feel like it used to feel. It'll burn like it used to burn. I believe he said, boy, you know what that was like? That was like the first time I met him. You see, you just don't understand what these two have been through. All their plans and hopes and dreams are shattered. And the devil has told him it's over. He's dead. You've been abandoned. You've been forsaken. It is done. Oh, but all of a sudden, let me be this other disciple just a little while. You done good. And I tell you what I'll do. I put the preacher in a mess. He may not have $50. Just look through that. If you find $50, let me know and we'll clean it up after a while. He'll probably put the whole wad in his pocket. God help him. Is his daddy a missionary? If it is, it's really done. He can even smile. You know the Bible said they did? Look at what happened in the next verse, 30, 31, 32. And they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. When the fire burns, there's companionship. When the fire burns, there's clarity. When the fire burns, there's constraining. When the fire burns, there's communion. But when the fire burns, there is courage. You say, what kind of courage? Jerusalem is where the cross was. Jerusalem is where they just crucified Jesus. Jerusalem is where the Roman soldiers are hunting for the rest of them. They're already at Emmaus. They're in their comfort zone. They're in their safety zone. They don't have to go back. And if they go back, it may cost them their life. But they're not worried. They're not afraid. They're not intimidated because the holy fire of God has given them their courage, their stamina, their boldness. They can't be bought. They can't be intimidated. They cannot be afraid because the holy fire of God is burning in their heart again. I want to tell you what, to get the modern day church off of our faces in defeat and stand up again like a mighty army of God for the fire of God and revival of God and the Holy Ghost of God. Burn in our heart again. We'll get our courage back. They had just gone 7.5 miles. They no more than get there, and they're going back 7.5 miles more. And they're making the last part of the journey in the dark. But it's okay, because they got to fire. Boy, they make that 7.5 mile journey. Boy, they start off depressed, confused, disturbed. They don't understand. But by the time they get home, the fires are burning again. Good, ain't it, boy? Fire's burning again. I got the fire. How about you? I love Jesus. How about you? I got my burden back. How about you? I got my song back. How about you? Ready to go get them, Tiger? Yeah. I know it's bad over there. I know it's dangerous over there. And that might be the last trip we make. But let's go. He's with us. The fire's back. Amen. By the way, I'm hurrying. I'm closing. You say, what's so important about going back to Jerusalem? I'm glad you brought that up. Jesus said, go to Emmaus and wait for the promise of the Father. No. Go to Jerusalem. That's where the Holy Ghost is coming. Go to Jerusalem and wait till you be endued with power from on high. I'd say they've gone 7.5 miles. They've gone 7.5 more. That makes 15. 15, the Bible's a number of rest. You say, was it worth the trip? I bet you when the windows of heaven open and that Holy Ghost breeze like a mighty rushing wind flew through that room, filled them old boys. I believe they said, worth every mile of the trip. Worth every mile the trip. Worth every mile the trip. Thank you, boy. No wonder they come out of that room and turn the world upside down for the glory of God, because they wasn't in the flesh. Though the energy of the flesh, they was operating under the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad the fire of God can burn again, and God can get on the scene again, and we'll get our courage back. They start out sad, confused, bewildered, and alone. But by the time they reached the house, praise God, their eyes were open, their hearts was on fire, and they were walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. Because it was real. It was real down in there. They said when that great Welch revival was at its height, they said the London Times sent a newspaper reporter over to Wales to interview people or do a write-up about, can you imagine CNN doing a write-up about the camp meeting this week? I hear it now. Religious fanatics meeting Boiling Springs. And the wild man of Gadara preached and stomped and sweated and spit every night. Glory! That newspaper reporter walked up, Brother Tim, to an old man standing under a lamppost and said, sir, can you tell me where the big revival is going on out around here? And that old man said, yeah, I can. He undone his shirt and said, I'll tell you where the big revival. Woo! I'll tell you where the big revival is going on out around here. Right down in there, sir. Right down in there. I'm telling you, you can leave the Jubilee 2012 with it hot and burning right down in there. In fact, you can leave in such a difference, they're going to say, where have you been? What kind of week did you have? And he'll be your testimony. Well, I came in a little tired and bewildered and confused, but somewhere before I got back to the house, he showed up and he took the word of God, and I'm on fire. Let's do something for God. Aren't you glad the holy fire of God can burn in our hearts again? Let's stand together all over the building. Our Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Lord, I'm glad the holy fire of God can burn in our hearts. Lord, people came to the meeting at the first of the week tired and weary. And Lord, I hope somewhere along the journey you've showed up in their life. If not, may it be so tonight. And Lord, they won't quit. They won't resign. They won't get discouraged. They won't retreat. But oh God, they'll go forward because you've renewed their strength. You've renewed their fire. You've renewed their courage. You've renewed their burden and vision. May we have revival again and reclaim the territory we've allowed Satan to take from us. God, in these last days, do it again, do it again. Oh, God, do it again. Through the power of the resurrected Christ, move in our hearts, and we'll thank you tonight. In Jesus' name. While they're coming, our heads about all over the building, while they come, just slap out of your seat right now and say, preacher, I want my fire back. I want to leave here bubbling over, on fire, slap out, sold out to God. Come on, just keep on coming. That's it. Just keep on coming. We'll make room for it. Just keep on coming. I want to leave the meeting with a greater burden I've ever had, a greater vision than I've ever had, a hotter fire than I ever had. I want to leave here madly in love with Kiki. It's good. Come on. I want to leave here with a burden for souls. I want to go back. Let God use me to build that church, reach my city for God. Amen. Reach my community for God. In the balcony, come on down, get you some fire. Amen. That's good. Come on. That's good. Just keep on coming. And keep on coming. I don't want to leave this meeting like I came. I want to leave changed. I want to leave different. I want to leave with glory in my soul and a spring in my step. I want to walk out of this Jubilee in the power of the Spirit of God. I want a fresh anointing. I want a fresh feeling. Come on. That's right. Come on. We'll make room for you. Come on. Keep coming. We'll get in the aisles. Down the side. Come on. Let's don't leave like we came. Let God do something in your heart. While these are praying all over the altar, Brother Tim, go ahead and sing for us tonight. Others need to come. You come on now. Let God leave on fire for God. Leave on fire for God.